Blog Talk Radio.
Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. And again, I want to welcome each and every one of you to our Passover Good Friday service. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." A Thanksgiving prayer allows people to thank God for what they are given by God. A prayer of thanksgiving addresses a number of factors, including people, objects, life, food, shelter, nature, health, or weather. In daily life, people thank others for holding open the door, a gift received, or a meal shared. According to the Case for Christ Study Bible, Psalms 100 describes this prayer: "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endureth forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah, you live in a place I have never been. You have established the heavens above me, and they reach far beyond what I could ever know. My finite mind cannot comprehend you in all of your majesty. Seated there in the New Jerusalem, the place of your dwelling, the place of Jehovah Shammah, yet you also equally here with me right now. And my praise is in your heart and in your ears. You are my close friend, and I praise you for all of your greatness. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681, and call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
Amen. Praise be to God. And right now, we are going to open up our hearts and let Jesus come in. Amen.
You might be sitting there thinking to yourself, where is my God now? So many hypocrites professing lying and gossiping in the church. But I'm here to let you know that it starts with you. Because all it takes is the anointing to make a difference. Now listen. There may be times in your life when you don't know what to do. It seems like everything you make it through. You try so hard. all your heart and with all your soul and mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And second, you should love your neighbor as yourself. You know, you don't have to look far to find your neighbor, because right here in church, someone is hurting. All you have to do is throw your arms around them and open up your heart and let Jesus come in.
Oh,
Jehovah Shammah, cause my heart to fully feel the godly sorrow I should feel when I offend you. You are Jehovah Shammah, there in the place of my eternal home, and yet I dismiss you so easily in my daily life here. Help me to know the sorrow tied to the sins I commit against you. Forgive me for sometimes feeling that because you are Jehovah Shammah, you aren't close enough to me to give me the comfort and love I need as I navigate through this world. Remind me again and again that you are my Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. And if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
Needs to grow word. I wrote a song for the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm preaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs to grow word. I wrote a song for the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. This device is wholesome and good. With half a brain, it should be easily understood. It's worth more than silver and gold. Listen close as wisdom unfolds. Fools think they need no advice, but wise men will listen twice. A fool is quick-tempered and cruel, but the wise maintain and stay cool. Truth stands the test of time, while lies get exposed like crime. I'm in the studio promising I'll be a key in changing lifestyle. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm preaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. Spoil the child if you spare the rod. Teach your kids to obey God. Discipline kids at an early age, and it'll follow them right to the grave. Be humble and accept correction. Travel the path in the right direction. To work hard being poor means more than obtaining wealth by breaking a law. Wise men avoid a fight, but fools will argue all day and night. Fools don't even think about the facts, cause all they wanna do is attack. Prepare before making moves. If not, then you're bound to lose. It pays to keep a big mouth shut. Some have lost their lives for talking too much. I give what I can to the helpless, plus hope and pray that they all get justice. Work brings profit, talk brings poverty. When I'm on the job, don't bother me. It shouldn't hurt to be criticized. If it's constructive, you'll become wise. Your hang up is life's unfair. Have you ever heard of faith and prayer? You can't always have a good day or everything going your way. A story sounds good when it's just one side. Listen to them both before you decide. Wounds from a friend of me. A better than kisses from an enemy, enemy. The wicked finally lose, the right finally wins. Trust in the Lord, respect and fear him. Courage secures when you're facing death. Without courage, there's no hope left. When you're generous, they often ask of you. When you're broke, folks are quick to pass you. Be aware of flattery and charm, cause all they mean to do is harm. An enemy who wants to provide for you is only trying to game and bribe you. Before world peace is felt, we have to find peace with self. The solution isn't even a hard one. Peace only comes from God's Son. Counsel and common sense can all be obtained at a small expense, just by keeping hearts and minds wide open, and taking the proverbs that were spoken. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song from the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God, cause every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song from the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God.
Amen. Praise be to God. And now it is time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, A Basis for Love. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And it says, walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. On a daily basis, God may bring people across your path who you may find to be troublesome and irritating. However, he does so as a reminder to you. I love those who are difficult to care for. I love even when others seem unlovable. In this, you may feel some uncomfortable conviction. After all, you know the ways you feel unlovable and unworthy. You have flaws, failures, and quirks that annoy or anger others. In fact, you may be more like those whom you dislike than you had cared to admit. But Jesus still loves you and died for you, just as he did for them. Christ did for you on the cross. He did for your worst enemy. It's when you humbly accept this fact that you can begin to love others as Jesus does. So when you encounter someone who antagonizes you, ask Jesus to give you his love for him or her. Remember the grace he's given you and thank him that he's willing to manifest the fruit of his spirit through you. Galatians 5:22-23. And then watch what he does through your willing heart. You may very well see the power of God work through your change in demeanor. Amen? I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Jesus, help me see those I dislike with your eyes and let your love flow through me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. At this time, I will play another selection. Shemaiah, you are high and lofty, and the train of your robe fills the temple of the New Jerusalem. Thank you for preparing a place where we will dwell with you for eternity. We know that though you are there, you are also here. Your eye is on the world, but at the same time, your eye is on the lowly sparrow. You surround the universe, but you also surround us. Thank you for being there and for being here in us at the same time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Praise be to God.
A plethora of life's enigmas have incapacitated your people. Lord, we cry for the power that comes from being in your presence to resuscitate us so that we may live. Lord, we proclaim you now. Your mighty power and your awesome majesty. Hallelujah. Lord, come upon us now. Your power. We need your power. And let your presence fall. Hallelujah. Come on, voices of Citadel. I need you to harmonize tonight. And let's talk to the Lord. Lord, we proclaim your name.
Lord, we proclaim.
Yeah. And your mighty power.
And your
there's nothing you can't do. And your awesome majesty. Your presence fall. There's healing in your presence. There's peace in your presence. Everybody standing all over the building with your hands raised and your mouth open, let's cry out to the Lord tonight. Come on, say, Lord.
We need it. your problems. I want to change your life. Worship your way out of this. Call on the Lord. He's mighty to save. He's mighty to heal. He's mighty to deliver. If you call him, he'll come to your rescue and give you what you need. Hallelujah. Let your presence fall. Yes, Jesus. There's worship in this room tonight. Raise your voice and cry out to the Lord.
Yeah.
Come on, let's check it out. Y'all, check it out. There's nobody like you, Jesus. Nobody can help us but you.
Praise be to God. Jehovah Shammai, we ask you to help us know that everything is going to be okay as we go through this day, this month, and this year. The challenges we face are often too much for us to bear. May we call on your name, Jehovah Shammai, as a reminder that you have gone before us and are already resting where we will one day be. In your presence and in your place, let that truth keep us in peace while we go through our daily life. Give us a deeper awareness of your greatness, Jehovah Shammai. Give us a glimpse of where you are there. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Here we go, y'all.
Yeah.
get mine.
Amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. So I will pray. Lord, our righteousness, Jehovah Tishdenu, which means the Lord, our righteousness. And Jeremiah 23:6 says, in his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our God, Jehovah Tishadu, Tishkenu, Kenu. Jehovah Tishkenu, I have no righteousness of my own that comes from obeying the law, but the righteousness I have comes through faith in Christ. It is the righteousness that depends entirely on faith. Through this faith, you give me a clean slate of purity brought and earn through the life of Christ. I praise you for your goodness and grace and for the mercies you give me each and every day, moment of every day. For my sake, you made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him I might become the righteousness of God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. At this time, I will play two more selections, and then we'll get into the word. Amen. Praise God.
The heart of his spirit takes residence in me, purging iniquity to the image of glory. The heart of his spirit lives. Chosen to serve the King of Kings, the Son of God walked this earth, bringing grace to the undeserved, crucified in our place, forgiving sin, interceding.
He's coming back for a church without a Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Simple song.
Y'all got it now. Come on, say it. All of the glory, Lord, belongs to you. together one time. My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on and come to the table.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Oh, oh,
oh. My hallelujah belongs to you.
Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh.
Amen. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5. That's Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Amen. Praise God. That's Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but you can read from any book that you want to read from. King James, NIV. Okay. Praise God. So, we go. So therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. And now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God shows his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. To God be the glory. So God is holy, and he will not be associated with sin. All people are sinful and so they are separated from God. In addition, all sin deserves punishment. Instead of punishing us with the death we deserve, however, Christ took our sins upon himself and took our punishment by dying on the cross. Now we can rejoice in God through faith in Christ's work. We become close to God rather than being enemies and outcasts. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. So when we look at the cross, we can easily become preoccupied with the details of the agonizing death. But the mocking crowd and the darkest skies, while we should never forget what people did to Jesus that day, the significance of the cross lies in what Jesus did for people. Paul turned again and again to the cross and made it central in his theology. The cross was the instrument of the amazing act of love and self-sacrifice that set people free. Paul preached Christ as crucified because on the cross he finished his work as mediator between God and people. Paul told the Galatians, "Far be it from me to glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified unto me, and I unto the world." As we seek to understand the theology of the cross, let's think in the broadcast terms, possibly beginning at the outer rim of the circle and moving in toward the center. Praise God. Let us pray. Lord God, author of life and conqueror of death, we rejoice in the privilege of worship. On this resurrection day, we thank you for the signs of new life that abound in your beautiful creation. We thank you even more for making us new, for saving us from sin and giving us abundant life. We pray for guidance and strength in bearing one another's burdens. Help us to minister to each other. May no breach of friendship make our offerings unacceptable. Pierce our hearts with the probing light of the Spirit so that we can see ourselves as you see us. Convict us. Convict us of the need to forgive as we have been forgiven, to love as we have been loved, and to give as we have received. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, and it says, For while we were yet weak, in due season Christ died for the ungodly. For sacredly for a righteous, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. For preadventured, for the good, one would even dare to die. But God commendeth his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And my title of this message is The Theology of the Cross. The cross conceived. Three questions cried out for an answer. When? The cross was no afterthought with God. It was the plan of the ages. To the Ephesians, Paul said in Romans 1 and 4 in the NIV, God chose us in him before the creation of the world. Exactly what that may or may not mean, it surely indicates that God's plan was not foiled when man fell into sin. God's plan of the ages was ready. It centered on a cross. Indeed, the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. Praise be to God. Where was the cross conceived? The answer is in the mind and heart of the Father God. Conceived in love. The cross does not make God love us. It is the outcome and measure of his love to us. In the Old Testament, we see types of or foreshadowing of the cross. There was the sin offering, scapegoat, and the Day of Atonement. But when the fullness of time came, these types were fulfilled. And third, why? When, where, and why? Why? Jesus died on the cross for two reasons. He died because of our sins. 1 Peter 3 and 18 tells us the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We were such sinners that God's Son had to die in our place. He died because of God's love for us. The heart of the gospel is this. In John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Moved by love, God sent his Son to live as a man among other men in early terms. The cross is not a sign of God's majesty and power, but an unforgettable reminder of the length to which he will go to bring people to himself. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. The cross achieved. We will never understand the mystery of the cross nor agree on our ideas of the atonement. But we will not go far astray if we remember one thing. God did it. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5 and 19, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. But you might wonder, I thought Jesus was crucified because of the betrayal of Judas, the envy of the high priest, and the weakness of Pilate. There is some truth in this analysis, but it is not the whole truth. Emil Berner said, the cross was the consequences of Judas' treason, of the jealousy and blindness of the high priest, of the human fears of the Roman governor. Yet it was God's work. I believe in the living God. God is not defeated by the sins of men, as demonstrated by the cross at the heart of our faith. Though God did not condone the cross, he wrote it into his final design, which was and is the salvation of the world. George W. Cornell, a reporter and theologian, described what God did this way. There on the cross, Christian believed a loving God was standing in for all mankind, substituting himself for man, taking on himself in some mysterious way, the result of man's pervasive sin, as demanded by this consistent moral order, so that sinners could be accepted without sin's consequences. The way and its way. The Old Testament foretold Jesus coming and the suffering he would endure. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. His birth is the centerpiece of history. His life was perfect. He could die for our sins because he had no sins of his own. His atonement was perfect and complete, superseding all that was foreshadowed it. Hebrews 9:11-12. Cross precedes. The world agrees on the historical fact that 2,000 years ago, in a tiny province of the Roman Empire, an erratic Jewish prophet named Jesus was crucified on a Roman cross. But the world does not agree as to what that event means. Some, like the Greeks, seek after wisdom. To them, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But as Paul reminded the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1 and 21, the world through its wisdom knew not God. Some like the Jews, are offended by the cross. It is to them a stumbling block. 1 Corinthians 1 and 23. In Galatia, Paul felt the pressure to tone down or dilute the gospel. If only he would yield on one point and agree with the Judeans that not only faith but also the old Jewish rites were necessary for salvation. His troubles and persecutions would be over. In Galatians 5 and 11, in the NIV tells us, in that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. Paul said, the offense of the cross is its exclusiveness. There is no other way. Some, like the modern sophisticated, rebel at the ideal of the cross. Some people cannot believe that a loving God would allow his own son to suffer such a violent death. They think certainly God could have found a better way. But this notion is quite in contrast to what is revealed to us on the cross. Through his death, Christ manifests absolute love. And John 15 and 13 tells us, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. And we were not even Christ's friends. We were his enemies. Genuine Christians understand and embrace the cross. One of two things happens when a person really sees what the cross is and what it means. One result is unbelief. When God meets us in the fullness of his love, we don't want him because his demands are too high. Instead, we join those who shouted long ago, crucify him. The other result is conviction for sin. It is only as we see God in his mercy taking our place that we see ourselves as we are in our poverty and nakedness, our sin and wickedness. The cross received. When we do understand, what will we do? Will we accept the love Jesus offers us? The cross stands with open arms to welcome every sinful soul. It is the door through which the Father becomes the prodigal back to the family and home. Welcomes the prodigal back to the family and home. To receive the cross is to enter a new way of life. As Jesus himself said in Luke 9 and 23, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Taking up our cross does not mean devoting ourselves to some form of ancestorism. Rather, it means constantly refusing to gratify our self-life, perpetually dying to pride and self-indulgence in order to follow Christ in his redemptive mission for the salvation of all mankind. Let him take up his cross daily, Jesus said. The cross means sharing the good news of Christ to the last and to the fullest. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. You see, a blessed change takes place in the sinner's state when he becomes becomes a true believer. Whatever he has been, being justified by faith, he has peace with God. The holy, righteous God cannot be at peace with a sinner while under the guilt of sin. Justification takes away the guilt and so makes way for peace. This is through our Lord Jesus Christ, through him as the great peacemaker, the mediator between God and man. The saints' happy state is a state of grace. Into this grace we are brought, which teaches that we were not born in this state. We could not have got into it of ourselves, but we are led into it. As pardoned offenders, therein we stand. A posture that denotes perseverance. We stand firm and safe, upheld by the power of the enemy. And those who have hope for the glory of God hereafter have enough to rejoice in now. Tribulation worketh patience, not in and of itself, but the powerful grace of God working in and with the tribulation. Patient sufferers have most of the divine consolation, which abound as affliction abound. It works needful experience of ourselves. Hallelujah. This hope will not disappoint because it is sealed with the Holy Spirit as a spirit of love. It is the gracious work of the blessed Spirit to shed abroad the love of God in the hearts of all saints. A right sense of God's love to us will make us not ashamed either of our hope or of our suffering for him. Christ died for sinners, not only such as were useless, but such as were guilty and hateful, such that their everlasting destruction would be to the glory of God's justice. Christ died to save us, not in our sins, but from our sins. And we were yet sinners when he died for us. Nay, the carnal mind is not only an enemy to God, but an enemy itself. Chapter 8, 7, Colossians 1:21. But God designed to deliver from sin and to work a great change. While the sinful state continues, God loatheth the sinner, and the sinner loatheth God. Zechariah 11:8, and that for such as these Christ should die in a mystery. No other such an instance of love is known, so that it may well be employment of eternity to adorn and wonder at it is. Again, what idea had the apostles when he supposed the case of someone dying for a righteous man? And yet he only put it as a thing that might be. Was it not the undergoing this suffering that the person intended to be benefited might be released therefrom? But from what are believers in Christ released by his death, not from bodily death? For that they all do and must endure. The evil from which the deliverance could be effected only in this astonishing manner must be more dreadful than natural death. There is no evil to which the argument can be applied except that which the apostle actually affirmed. Sin and wrath, the punishment of sin, determined by the unerring justice of God, and if by divine grace they were thus brought to repent and to believe in Christ, and thus were justified by the price of his blood shedding, and by faith in that atonement, much more through him who died for them and rose again, would they be kept from falling under the power of sin and Satan, or departing finally from him. The living Lord of all will complete the purpose of his dying love by saving all true believers to the utmost, having such a pledge of salvation in the love of God through Christ. The apostle declared that believers not only rejoice in the hope of heaven and even in their tribulations for Christ's sake, but they glory in God also as their unchangeable friend and all sufficient portion through Christ only. To God be the glory. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say one last thing. So my brothers and sisters, let's take this time to gaze upon the cross, for that is the only place we discover absolute love. Love that endures beyond all reason and convicts it beyond all argument. Romans 5 and 8 tells us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. At the cross, love brings home the truth to us, until all doubts and questions silence. We want only to worship and adore. Let's thank God, as we say with poet Harry Webb Farrington. I know not how that Calvary's cross a world from sin could free. I only know its matchless love has brought God's love to me. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it was unto me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And the next thing that you have to do is to find a good Bible-based church. Amen? Praise God. Amen. And my, excuse me, and my benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you until we meet again tomorrow, next week Tuesday, when I will come with our sweet hour of prayer. I pray that each and every one of you have a wonderful weekend and that you will have a blessed Easter. And tonight, happy Passover and happy Good Friday. Amen. God bless you. We love you. And shalom, everyone.
You thought I was a devil. thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.